Support for NPR podcasts comes from Pabst Brewing, supporting live music and local artists nationwide, and proud supporter of NPR Music Podcasts at PabstBlueRibbon.com.
Welcome to another edition of What Would Rob Do? A Guide to Life's Most Trying Dilemmas. I'm Ari Shapiro.
And I'm Rob Sachs.
And Rob, what's today's heart-wrenching scenario?
Well, Ari, here's the scene. You get into an elevator, you push the down button, and you're starting to move down, and then, uh-oh, it stops, and you're stuck. And, it's one of those gosh darn it moments, Ari. You know?
My heart's pounding just hearing about this.
Yes, I mean, it's terrifying. And so, maybe your first inclination would be to start shouting and say, get me out of here.
Or just weeping.
Yeah, weeping, crying. And it's very frightful. You're in this enclosed metal cage and you want to get out. And the thing is, though, you should not start panicking because you're actually in a pretty safe situation. And this is according to Edith DeFrancesca. She's the vice president for safety and quality for Otis North America and South America. The elevator
Otis
company.
Otis Elevators, right.
Yeah, she told me what to do. If you find yourself in this situation,
just make your call for assistance and stay calm.
All right, so Ari, so you know that those telephones in the elevator actually have a function, or those little buttons that say call for assistance. You're really supposed to do that. They hook up to Otis's central elevator help command center, and someone will help you, and then you'll be on your way. Maybe some guy will come out and fix it for you.
But what if those phones don't work? I mean, some of these elevators haven't been checked on in decades.
You're right, right. And sometimes, too, your cell phone doesn't work. Your reception...
Oh, there's no worse place for cell phone reception than an elevator. I speak from personal experience, having lost many phone calls as I step into an elevator.
That's when the fear can really start setting in, because you're thinking, okay, I might just be left here and nobody's going to know I'm in this elevator.
Or worse, what if it plummets?
Well, that's the thing. They're not going to plummet. They've had this design since 1853. That won't happen. But...
Yeah, but I've seen Die Hard. I mean, come on.
Maybe a worse fear is what if you have to really go to the bathroom, because you don't know when you're going to get out of there. So the key is to keep making noise to make sure that people know you're in there. But if you're screaming your head off all the time, you're going to get woozy, your voice is going to get hoarse, and it can be a real drag. Now, I talked to someone who actually was stuck in an elevator. Her name is Deborah Henson Conant, and she's actually a professional musician who performs with a strap-on harp. Okay, this is weird. It's different. But...
I beg you. I'm sorry. She performs with a what?
A strap-on harp. I know this is really funky, but it has nothing to do with her story. Anyway, she was on her way to a performance in San Antonio, Texas, when she got stuck in an elevator.
With her strap-on harp?
No, not with her strap-on harp, but with her partner, Jonathan. So they were stuck there together, and she offered this advice of what to do.
After we got done holding on to the railings and being worried about going up or down, we started singing every song that we'd ever heard of.
So that's maybe a great alternative. Turn this into a performance space for yourself. And there's some great songs for if you're in distress, like the Beatles, Help! I need somebody. Or how about the Police sending out an SOS? You could rock out with that one. So you're singing, but you're also conveying a message there.
That's good. What about in every movie I've ever seen where somebody gets stuck in an elevator, the hero takes matters into their own hands. They open an escape hatch in the roof. They end up scaling the elevator shaft. How about that as an alternative?
Right. Pull a Mission Impossible
totally.
Move. And I asked Edith with Otis Elevators about that one.
Remain in the elevator. That's the safest place to be. Don't try to climb out.
So not only are those escape hatches dangerous, and this is something you don't want to be doing, they're also, according to Deborah, kind of yucky.
It's dusty and stuff. I mean, not that that would stop me, but no, it's not really the escape hatch that we were all hoping for.
That's so disappointing. What about like prying open the doors? I mean, brute strength here. Or jumping up and down or something like that.
Yeah, again, neither of those will do squat for you.
Jumping up and down won't get the elevator moving, so jumping up and down isn't recommended.
And Ari, there's really not much you can do. And believe me, I asked Edith at Otis Elevators about everything that I could think of. Is there like a code in some elevators where you can punch a certain configuration of the floor numbers and that may be manual overdrive?
No, there wouldn't be anything from inside the car.
So manually trying to hit the buttons in different ways will do nothing for you.
Will do nothing for you.
But there actually is one option that Edith recommends.
All right, what's that?
Here it is.
They can try just the door open button.
Have you had cases where someone's been stuck in an elevator for an hour or two, and then they're like, wait a second, What if I hit the door open button and then they got out? I mean, they must have felt a little silly then.
It's not unrealistic for that to happen.
You've got to be kidding me.
Yeah, the door open button.
You press the door open button. It's like being told the way to get your computer to stop screwing up is by turning it on.
I know. So that actually only works in not the majority of cases, you might have guessed. So the door open button, you could try that. But again, if you're stuck in an elevator, you really just got to wait it out. But what you don't really realize, that Ari, is that, you know, when you're waiting in this elevator, I told you maybe it could be a good forum for singing. It also can be a great place to get to know your fellow elevator passengers. And, you know, I talked to Deborah, strap-on harpist who was, in the elevator with her partner, Jonathan. She said it turned out to be this great experience for them.
I think what was really meaningful for both of us was that we went through that period of fear together and then got to this, that's really interesting, got to this calm that was actually very intimate without calling attention to its intimacy.
What if you're in the elevator alone?
That is where Otis comes into play. And there's good people there that will share with you your fears and maybe a little bit more.
The Otis line operators are trained to talk them through that and to let them know what to expect.
Oh, so that's great. So you know that you're not alone.
Very, very much so.
You know, elevator repair people are kind of like bartenders in that sense. You know, they're there to listen to your problems. They're there to maybe, you know, give you a little help, a little bit of a boost while you're not feeling so great being stuck in that elevator. And you know what? All right, sometimes I think about calling them even when I'm not stuck, just because I know they're good people to talk to.
Just to reach out to a voice in the night.
Exactly.
Well, thanks for that advice, Rob. That'll do it for What Would Rob Do? A Guide to Life's Most Trying Dilemmas. I'm Ari Shapiro.
And I'm Rob Sachs.